The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Hello, welcome back into the podcast that we like to call From the Podium, where you hear directly from your Kansas City Chiefs. I'm host and audio producer of the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network, Steven Serta. On Thursday, the final day of Chiefs media ahead of Sunday's Super Bowl rematch against the San Francisco 49ers, we heard from head coach Andy Reid, quarterback Patrick Mahomes, tight end Travis Kelce. After that, we'll take a quick timeout. When we get back, we'll wrap things up with offensive coordinator Matt Nagy, defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo, linebacker Nick Bolton, cornerback Lajarius Sneed, wide receiver Rashee Rice, and cornerback Trent McDuffie. Here's the Chiefs head coach Andy Reid.
Thursday, that game's in sight there, so... We get through today, that'll be good. Anyways, well, that time's yours.
Coach Neil Reynolds from Sky Sports in the UK.
Yes.
I've got a question about a very specific part of Sunday. When the players run out of the tunnel for the biggest game of their lives, there's suddenly 20 minutes until kickoff. Do you leave them to themselves? Do you prepare them for that? How do you manage that situation, and does experience help?
Experience does help, but we cover that, yes. We ask them to get off their feet, kind of pump the brakes a little bit, and relax so they don't use all their energy during that time. And then with 5 minutes left, to get back up and get moving. So, yeah, we have a game plan for that. Doesn't always work because the guys' juices are going, but that's what we try to do.
Yep. Andy, over here.
All right, Adam.
Morning. In a situation like this, what things do you look at to tell you your team is ready or, in the other case, maybe not ready? What kind of things do you look at to gauge that?
Yeah, so you can tell we've been around these guys for how many ever months here, and you get a pretty good sense on the energy level at practice, in meetings, the attention in meetings, the accuracy of running the actual play. I'd probably say those are the primary ingredients. And it doesn't, you know, success and failure in a game doesn't always depend on whether I think they're ready or not ready. There have been times when I go on, you know, the biorhythms look a little down and they go play like crazy, you know, so, but normally that's, if they're focused in with those things I gave you there, that normally they're ready to go.
Hey, Andy, Ricardo Lopez from Mundo NFL. What do you think about your legacy as a play caller? I mean, you developed Patrick Mahomes, you helped to turn Travis Kelce into the best tight end in the history, and you create a perfect offensive machine. What do you think about your legacy?
Yeah, listen, I've been blessed in my career to have a lot of great players, and they make your plays look good, you know, they execute. As far as the legacy goes, I don't really think about that. We're so tied up into the game and getting ready for the game that's where all your energy goes. And the neat thing about football is very humbling. So, you know, within a game, you're going to have these highs and lows. What you think is a great play might not end up being a great play. So the game can pick you up and it can slap you in the face at the same time. It's a very humbling game that way.
Andy, to your right. Sorry if you've been asked this week, but obviously with last year's game, the field was very slick for both teams. Can you just talk about any preparations you guys have made for that this year, just in case? Have you talked about it with the guys?
Yeah. Well, we all saw the field when we drove over to the stadium the other night. So they've got the field outside getting ready, and they'll get it wheeled back inside. From what I gather, it's in great condition. I think last year's was a fluke, but our equipment guy's ready for everything. He brings the whole house with him, so we've got every shoe you can imagine for whatever presents itself there.
Coach, back here at the back.
Yep, gotcha.
I'm sorry to interrupt you talking about the game. That's a big thing, I know, but this weekend they're voting for the Hall of Fame. There's a guy that kind of helped resurrect Chiefs football that we all care about in Kansas City, Marty Schottenheimer. What do you think about whether he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, if I was a voter, I'd vote for him. Big time fan of Marty's. He was a great motivator and great guy, great motivator, very tough, but very caring of his players. And obviously had a great mind for football. So those primary ingredients, and he won. So with multiple teams. So it's all the things that supposedly qualify you for the Hall of Fame. I think he has those, yeah.
Hey, Coach, looking at when you played the 49ers 4 years ago, where do you think you've developed or changed the most as a head coach?
It hasn't been that long ago, so I don't think much. I think it's the same philosophy, other than the game changes a little bit different every year, so you kind of go along with it and what the league gives you rule-wise and things you can do in training camp. Those change you a bit because of and most of them because of safety purposes and so on. So, but the philosophy, general philosophy, has remained the same. Yeah.
Coach Jose Villalba from Millennium Multimedios in Mexico. Two questions. I don't know if any in the Chiefs have thought about this, Super Bowl 58. And when I think number 58, I think of the late, great Derek Thomas.
Sure.
And because of what he meant to the Chiefs and Marty Schottenheimer, his coach, that legacy from that. And second, in Philadelphia, you had a great defensive coordinator in the late, great Jim Johnson. Now you have Steve Spagnuolo as a defensive coordinator. How has that helped you to create both with the Eagles and now with the Chiefs? And what similarities, difference, but at the same time, that has helped you get so many times to big games?
Yeah. I hadn't thought about the 58 with Derek Thomas, but what a great player he was. When I was at Green Bay, we had a chance to come back and play the Chiefs, and I think he set an NFL sack record that day. I remember Don Beebe running a shallow cross, and he hit Don Beebe so hard he landed in the quarterback's lap, and he was a great one. On the other part, Jim Johnson was a great defensive coordinator. Spags had an opportunity to work with him, and learn from him. I think some of those things Spags has used as his foundation for the defense that he runs now. But he's obviously added his own things to it, which Jim did with his defense. But I tell you, the base foundation is Jim Johnson's, and then Spags is so creative that he's just taking it all different directions from there. And both of them are great coaches in their own right, yeah. And have helped the program, yeah.
Hello, Coach. You were born in Los Angeles. You grew up in California. You were also a coach in San Francisco State in the 80s. It is special for you to face the San Francisco 49ers in the Super Bowl, or is it like any other team for you?
Yeah, so I tell you, I have a good friend, Lee Bruno, and we both grew up in Los Angeles, both Ram fans, but he's converted. I didn't.
Right here.
Where are we?
Yeah, here, Coach Reed, American Football Community Belgium. You're the defending champions, but this year you come in as a 3 seed, also as the underdog. Do you feel an underdog, and does that motivate you guys even more?
Yeah, listen, I understand why we're the underdog. I get that. We had some ups and downs during the season. I never feel like an underdog going into a game, but I understand why it's been situated that way, but it is. It's what it is. So,
Andy in the back here, Aaron Ladd, KSH 41.
Yep.
You've been known to have one of these very complex offenses, a big playbook. What's allowed Rasheed Rice to hit the ground running and be so successful for you all?
Yeah, I tell you, he's smart. He's used that SMU education and transferred it into football here. So he works hard. He's got a great relationship with the quarterback. So I think those are important things.
Yeah. Coach back here, paid 10,000 takes. So you've had players that have played in the big game, and you've had players that haven't played in this big game. What's sort of your message to those players who haven't played in the Super Bowl to, like, help maybe calm some of those nerves that they might have?
Yeah, when you get through all of this stuff here, it's a game. And it's faster than most games. It's crazy. In the playoffs, every game's a little faster the higher you go up in the playoffs. So it's fast, but it's still the game. So you're professionals. You're arguably one out of 32 guys at your position in the whole world. So you go play and do your job. Yeah.
Hi, Coach. Danilo Celi for La Perrada, Mexico. Yes. Momentum shifts were key in both championships. How do you handle a momentum shift coming your way in the sideline? How do you get your players ready when you sense a momentum shift on your side? And on the other side, how will you prevent the 49ers to get these moments that they've clearly gotten on the previous games in this playoff run?
Yeah, there are highs and lows in every game. And so you work your way through those. I'm into not being too high or too low, and then figuring out problems. So communication becomes very big on that. What does the player see? What does the coach see? Get together, talk about it, and then come up with a solution. So if you do that and you do it well enough, then you can even out some of the issues that go on. On that other hand, if you do well, let's not get crazy and get caught up in that. Let's make sure that we come back to that next play, focus in, and get ourselves ready for it.
Hi, Coach. Good morning. Federico Rivera from Damebola. Yeah. Hey, Coach, many people remember that 13 seconds final drive in the divisional against Buffalo 3 years ago. As a head coach, you practice every play in the situation of football, or there are new decisions you have to take in seconds? I mean, you practice, you contemplate every scenario or in the game plan, or sometimes not?
Yeah, so in training camp, we spend a lot of time on situations. And then just about everyone you can think of that comes up, you touch that during training camp and work on it. And then during the season, you don't have time to do that. So you do hit your two-minute situations on the field, but then you also try to do it in the classroom and go through the different scenarios that are happening through the league each week, through college football each week. Joe Blamire does a phenomenal job with that on our staff. And so it gives us an idea mentally where you can't do it all physically, but you can surely get the mental reps in there. For the game. Yeah, there are decisions that have to be made and very quickly at times. Yeah. But hopefully we have that answer and have looked at it somewhere over the last few months. Yeah.
Hey, Coach, Jim Alexander here. You've done this for a long time. You've been to many of these Super Bowls. If you win this Sunday, what are the likelihood that you might consider hanging up and kind of going out on top, or are you set already that you will be back next year?
Yeah, I haven't gone there. I don't think about that. I'm tied up in the game and trying to take care of that. I'm sure somewhere I'll know when that time is. It's not today, or won't be Sunday. So, yeah.
Andy, you mentioned the up and downs. The players really point to your consistent and steady approach during those moments. Is that something that's always come natural to you? Was there a time where it was different? Do you have moments to yourself where it's different? Just wonder if you could talk about that trait a little bit.
Yeah, I think you try to cover all the situations so that you can, or as many as you can. And the ones you don't cover, hopefully you've narrowed it down to where it fits somewhere in there, or at least is close to something that you've thought about. And then you can remain calm and knock it out and get the results you want. But I would say I've tried to be that way. I haven't changed. When I had more red hair, I had more of a temper. But in this world, I just try to get it. Try to get it done. And I think if I'm going crazy, everybody's going to be going crazy. And then now that fits into that chaos category, and that's not good.
Coach, what has Porter Ellett meant to your coaching staff, and how have you seen him grow as a coach?
Yeah, that's my left-hand man. So he does a great job. He's worked in, he started off as my administrative assistant, and now he's working with the running backs, and he's brilliant, first of all, very, very intelligent, got a great feel for the game. He's got a great way with the players. I mean, the players, they love him. And he does have one arm, so I have a brother that has one arm, so he taught my brother how to tie his shoe with one hand. I mean, it's an amazing deal, but it just shows you that people can do whatever they want to do. I mean, he does a heck of a job with our guys.
Last question.
Hi, Coach. Claire Overton, WEBM Boston. Your first Super Bowl appearance was with the Eagles in 2004. How has your process approaching the Super Bowl changed throughout the years?
Yeah, I don't think it's changed much. I was talking to Mike Holmgren the other day, and he was a fellow that I worked for in Green Bay, and he was very detailed. Came from Bill Walsh's staff in San Francisco and those Super Bowls there. So he had a plan for our Super Bowls that we went to, and I've kind of stuck with that. I've kind of hung with that schedule. The league has kind of remained the same, so it's allowed me to do that. But it's very similar to what I was taught and been able to use. Is there a tweak here or there? Yeah, but not far off. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, good. Thanks.
You play in big moments. It's been documented in previous Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. Is that something that's just in a person, or have you learned to fine-tune just keeping a low heart rate, big moments, things like that?
Definitely something I think's learned with experience and with being in the moment. I think the biggest thing for me is just trying to be myself. That's what I've always tried to do. And anything that I do is just be yourself, trust in your teammates, and everything else kind of handles itself.
Your pregame routine, we know what you do physically before it, but what goes through your head when you're sitting on the bench, the walk across the field? Like, is there envisioning things? What are you thinking in those moments?
Yeah, a lot of visualization. Just looking at the plays that we have in the playbook, different scenarios that could happen during the game. And trying to see it happen. I believe that if you visualize it, you can go out there and do it. And so being able to just visualize those things, going out there and executing them at a high level, and kind of playing the game before the game's even played.
Last one. What makes a good screen game?
A great play caller. And Coach Reeds has been great at calling screens for a long time. And Nagy, all those guys have a good feel for when the defense needs a little change up. And I think that's what makes the screen game the best.
Patrick, can you describe
best way of putting it, your connection with Coach Reed and just how you guys are so much sort of almost in a mind meld?
It's really cool. I mean, just being with Coach Reed for so long now, I have a good feel for the game plan, good feel for how he calls plays, and a lot of the times he'll call the play that I want him to call before I even get it in. I mean, just having a good feel for what he's thinking. I think that's what great coaches and players' connections kind of go, is whenever you can kind of call the plays that you know the coach is going
to
call.
Is there a way to get at what that's made you able to be in your own capacity, like having him in your head that way?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me, especially now, is when he calls a play, I know what he's thinking and kind of who he thinks the ball's going to go to. And it might be different than practice. It might be different than what we've worked on throughout the year. But based off the game that the defense is playing and the play that he calls, I have a good understanding of what he's thinking and who he thinks the ball's going to.
And just the last thing for me is
throw the football, but the way he's able to kind of dissect the defense and get the ball out of his hand. I watched a lot of his games, especially late, with similar opponents that we played. And he throws a great football. He's doing a great job of recognizing defenses, and it's hard. I mean, I don't think I would have been ready my first year to come in and play like that, and he's been able to do a tremendous job, and I'm sure I'll play him a lot as our careers go on.
My last question to you, do you see the NFL going global or being like an international league with countries that play football, like, for example, Canada, Mexico, and other countries? Would you like to see that in the future, where they could be like an interleague, and perhaps the NFL can create that, represent players on that American team?
Yeah, no, I mean, it'd be awesome to keep expanding the game worldwide. I know the logistics of going overseas would be pretty tough for some guys. I mean, especially like me, I got two young kids and trying to go and play football in different parts of the world. But I mean, I do love the opportunity to go like we did to Germany and play a game there, or go to Mexico City and we played a game there. And I want to continue to do that and continue to expand. We're going to Brazil. The Eagles are to start the season off next year, and I think that'll be a great experience. And I know the NFL is doing a great job of expanding worldwide, and we'll continue to do that. And I'm sure they'll figure the logistics out some way. I think it's just the mindset and the culture that I was brought into in Kansas City. Coach Reed does a great job of making sure that we're not satisfied with how we play week in and week out. Just continue to get better and better. And at the end of the day, you got to be playing your best football in the playoffs. And we've been lucky enough to do that these last few years. We're going to try to continue to do that. I think I was actually talking to Travis about this. I have a greater appreciation for what they did for so long. I mean, just to be able to come back and be in this many Super Bowls that they were in, and to continue to get every team's best shot and continue to just get better and better and win more and more, it's tough. It's hard. And I think I have a greater appreciation for what they did as an organization, Tom as a leader of that team, and all the other leaders that they have, to continue to stay on top of their game and get better and better every single year.
Travis, Nate Davis, USA Today. You've been on a lot of Andy Reid's teams. Some people have said this is maybe his best coaching job. Wondering if you agree with that and why, or if not, why not?
I mean, I've been here 13 years with him, and he's never got off track. This has been a constant incline of greatness, and I've been very fortunate to be under his kind of him overlooking my career, helping me out both on and off the field as a professional, as a human being, and it's just been I owe so much to him and his success and our success, and just extremely, extremely fortunate that I landed here in Kansas City 13 years ago to be able to build this thing with him like this.
Hey, Travis. Patrick's rookie season, you would give us some insight what you were seeing in practice and how impressed you were. Just kind of curious, does he still wow you at practice, or do you think you've seen it all?
I think I'm just I'm more impressed by his professionalism every single day coming into the building, how fast he is with his reads, with his understanding of the play, the concepts, and his ability to channel the energy of practice and the focus of practice. You know, sometimes as a leader, you got to be able to, if everybody's having a little bit too much fun, rally the guys together, refocus them. If a team is having low energy, fire them up. Pat does an unbelievable job of being that tone setter every single day and every single week.
Hey, Trev, to your right. Rasheed's become a big part of what you guys do, and it's abnormal for a rookie to have this much success in Andy's offense. When did you see it click for him, and just how proud of you of how far he's come along?
I saw it clicking as soon as he got there, man. He has a great feel for to get open in the middle of the field. A physical guy, a confident guy. So with all that, Coach Reed just is, and the offensive coaching staff obviously have slowly given him the responsibility to make the plays and to be that guy for us. And he owned it, man. He owned it throughout the season, and it's just been awesome to see him grow.
Hey, Travis. Amy with the Los Angeles Times. The paper sent me here just to cover you and Taylor.
Okay.
Obviously, you know, everyone is so captivated with your relationship. Some people have likened you to the American Royals because you're a football player. She's a pop star. Why do you think everyone's so fascinated with you two?
I think the values that we stand for and just, you know, who we are as people. We love to shine light on others, shine light around the people that help and support us. And on top of that, I feel like we both have just a love for life.
Back here, Travis, Aaron Ladd, KSHB41. Andy Reid's known for having a really tough, grueling training camp. How does that set the foundation for this long run that y'all are now coming to the end of?
Well, for a lot of guys, especially when you're it's your first time going through that training camp, you don't realize exactly why you're working so hard or why you're doing the long drive drills and, you know, just why Coach Reed has his camp the way it is until you get into those games where you know you need to take it up a notch. And you've already done it in practice a million times. And it just makes you appreciate it when you go back and try and do it all over again. It really makes you refocus and use that to your advantage while you're in St. Joe, Missouri, in the dog days, man.
Jordan Tucker, KLKC Radio. Travis, you have the accolades, the championships, even the newfound fame. What do you attribute your success to 13 years in the NFL?
I would say just my foundational, goals. I mean, who I am as a person. I attribute a lot to a lot of who I am and what I've done in life to the city that I'm from, Cleveland Heights, Ohio. The high school that I went to, the communities and the people in that community gave me a great perspective on what life is and how to appreciate everybody else and how to bring people along in life. And I think that that understanding growing up, I've just taken that with me and I've wanted to, you know, give that same way of life to other people.
Hey, Travis, over here. Ben Sloverji with WMW-TV. Just obviously you've been to so many different big games. How does those big games just kind of prepare you and maybe just preparation-wise for these guys who haven't been there? And what is that like? And obviously you have that burn to win another one. What is that like when you've had that experience and just to kind of know what to expect in those big moments?
It gets you fired up, man. And it makes you accept the challenges that you get presented in life. Going through a few of these Super Bowls, they're all – you can't plan any of them. You just got to be ready for the challenge and the task at hand to be able to overcome maybe some adversity, be able to, finish off a football game the right way. There's certain things that you can't train for in the Super Bowl. And you just got to be able to understand that you got the guys around you to help you get you there, and you're not in that thing alone. It's a fun experience, man, and a wild experience, but it's worth it all when you win it.
Hi, Trav. How are you?
Wonderful.
I have two very short questions. You want the football one first or the fun one first?
You can shoot them both.
All right. Let's do the fun one first. I was wondering if you can help me complete this lyric here. Karma is the guy on the
Chiefs, of course.
Finish it. Coming straight.
What's the second question?
The second question is, and good job, by the way. Thank you. At what point do you start to associate the word dynasty with this team?
I think it's been thrown around a lot, and obviously it being our third in 5 years, I think the number three is a big number in terms of dynasties and things like that. So hopefully we can get this thing, and you guys can start talking about dynasties. I'm trying to get this third ring, though.
Hey, Travis, it's Aditi with CBS. If you would just confirm two things for me. One Trent McDuffie said, you are Andy Reid's favorite.
I'm the oldest tenure here, so I would assume I've built up enough favoritism for sure.
And the second one is that MVS said, Patrick never gets mad at the receivers. He sends you instead to be the bad cop.
Yeah, I'll play bad cop. It's all right. I give the same energy to myself when I drop a pass or I screw up in a route. That's funny Quez said that, though. In the back
track. Neil. Can you take us inside the room? What is the team's mindset? You guys quiet? You start to get more intent? Or is it just like a regular game week?
It's chaos, man. It's a lot of fun, a lot of energy at practices. Everybody's focused and dialed in on their job at hand. And I'm not even going to lie, things got a little chippy. I'm not going to say between who, but the offense and defensive lines are trying to get their work in. They're trying to make sure everybody's ready for the game. And, I mean, it just got me fired up yesterday, seeing everybody locked in and wanting to get their work in, you know, making sure that everybody's ready for the task at hand on Sunday. And I just love the focus and the energy of the team right now.
Hey, Travis, Todd Lebo, Sports Radio 810 in Kansas City. Coach Reid is a model of consistency. He hasn't changed a whole lot that we see on a daily basis. In your time with him, have you seen him change in anything that he does, preparation-wise, anything off the field, anything?
Like I said, man, Coach, he hasn't really changed much throughout the 13 years. I think he does a great job of channeling the focus and the energy and the challenges, presenting those challenges to the team every single week. And we're just so fortunate to have the big guy here and at the helm, man.
Hi, Travis. Skyler with People. The connection you have with Patrick Mahomes on the field is undeniable. Can you please talk about the communication that you two have on the field? Do you even have to use words anymore, or is it just instinct, or as some would say, even telepathic between the two of you?
I think there's just been a lot of work that's gone in. So there's some things that don't need to be said, but at the same time, you know, there's little bits of communication that can assure you and make sure that we're both on the same page at times. But everything that we do on the field is play specific and really depending on what coverages and things that the other team's playing. So, with that being said, it really just depends on the scenario. And I've just been fortunate to be able to grow in this offense with the big guy.
Hey, Travis, still on your right. There are obvious parallels between you guys and the Patriots from the last 20 years, the quarterback tight end combo. If you win, you'll be the first team to go back-to-back since the Patriots. If you win, it'll be 3 in 5 years like the Patriots. Have they been kind of a motivating factor for you guys? Have they been a carrot
They set the standard of you know, dominance in the NFL. And I was a part of that and felt that dominance in 2015, I think, when I lost to them. And then again in 2017, I believe, or 18. And it was just, you know, seeing what those guys are all are all about, you know. And I think one of the funnest things this year that I've been able to kind of dive into is Games with Names with Julian Edelman, his podcast, and how he brings some of those ex-Patriots on to talk what he calls war stories and fun stories between him and the guys throughout their Patriot years. And I'll tell you what, man, I dive into those things and get every bit of nugget of gold that I can, man. Just and obviously, it's entertaining stuff knowing Julian's the one telling the stories.
Hey, Travis, Matt with Fox.
Yeah, you just shoot.
Travis, back here.
Yeah, you could just ask.
Hey, obviously, as you know, there's a lot of attention and buzz over your personal life. Is that a distraction for you? How do you process all of that while staying focused and performing as well as you do on the field?
I love this game, man. I love coming into work. I got a lot of desire to be accountable for the ones next to me. I think everybody has distractions or things in their lives that can take away from their focus in their work life, and you just got to be able to compartmentalize that. It's no different. I know it's, you know, it might be on a national media scale, so it seems like it's a lot harder, but in the reality of things, man, when I step in those doors or I step on that field, I'm focused on championship football and being a Kansas City Chief.
We got three more. Start over here.
Hi, Travis. It's Mart from Spain. Good luck on Sunday.
Thank you.
So, most likely NFL will announce that Spain will host in a game in 2025, a regular season game.
Nice. Hey, that's awesome.
After your experience playing in Germany, what do you think about the possibility of playing in Spain, and which are the challenges of facing a game like that?
It would be epic. It'd be legendary. It'd be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, man. I'm going to go talk to Clark Hunt right now and getting that bid in. That'd be very – any chance that that we can get as football players, as American football players, to get out of the States, play international, I think you'd be silly not to jump at that opportunity. I had an amazing time in Germany this year. I've been to Mexico City. I've been to London. And the fan bases are every bit of electric, if not more. Outside of the United States, and we just appreciate all the fans tuning in every single week. And if the Chiefs get out there in Spain, baby, we'll make sure to have some fun.
Hey, Trav, you and Kittle give back to the league tremendously during the off season with tight end. You, how important is that to you?
I mean, it's something that's become more and more special to me as the years have gone on. And I'm excited to get around the guys. It's just the tight end room is a very unique room. It's a lot of unselfish guys that come together that are just willing to do whatever the team needs them to do. So when you get everybody in the same building, typically we all have a lot of high energy and a lot of fun doing what we do. So it's just the atmosphere is almost like you're at an all-star game or at a Pro Bowl or at a Super Bowl, because it's just everybody's excited to be around each other. And then on top of that, just trying to spread the knowledge and help anybody excel their game and take the nuggets of gold when you can.
Travis, right down here.
Yep.
You know, you got great reviews for your appearance on Saturday Night Live.
So
my question is...
I don't know about great, but thank you.
Have you taken any meetings in Hollywood, and do you think you're best suited for comedy, drama, or action hero type roles?
Man, I'm comedy all the way. I don't know if I'm anything else. I just like to have a fun time and make people laugh. I'll dabble into everything, though, just to see if I have fun doing it. I know there's definitely Hollywood talks out there, but I've been focused on football throughout the season, so I'll probably have a lot of those meetings and conversations when it's all said and done.
All right, thank you.
Have a good one, guys.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's a situational play. It's a short yardage play. It's a goal line play, whatever. You then have the authority to jump in and say, no, listen, I want you to run the ball and I want this play. Or go ahead, you're feeling it, go with it. You know what I mean? There's a little bit of a collaborative effort.
Andy, over his career, I think it's gone from like to one extreme where he's been like 100%, and then another is like when Marty had it almost completely. And then it seems like in Kansas City, it's kind of like it depends upon.
Sure.
I know you primarily have it here. You're the one relaying it to Patrick. But what's that balance? Patrick says something like Andy always says, "Well, I got 51% of it." Yeah. Is that an accurate?
Yeah, I mean it's it's a unique dynamic that's fascinating. That, like you just said, every year it could be slightly different. You know, Coach does such a great job at calling plays and but he also does a phenomenal job throughout the week of being able to allow the coaches to have input with the game plan. And then talk with each coach as far as like, hey, in these situations, what plays do you like? Or what do you think about these five plays right here? How would you rank them? Like, what do you think? So he takes all that and he kind of spins it together of how he likes it and how he wants to go about calling the plays. And then we together just talk through kind of situationally. And again, over the years, he's also, I think it's out there for sure that my final year in Kansas City in 2017, he passed the play calling duties over to me. And so that's been done too, to where he's not calling plays, and it's well known that, you know, that I was calling plays. So you run into that, and that was a great experience for me to call plays at that moment. It helped me for my time in Chicago for sure. So again, it's been different all the years.
Did you find, and I'm probably asking you to go back too far, but did you find that like his game management was better because he didn't have to worry about calling the plays?
No, I didn't find that at all. I think honestly, it's probably more of the staff in our job. Is we have coaches upstairs that look at reviews. We have coaches, all of us talk through situational game management with timeouts, etc. So I don't necessarily put that, because I think every coach has that in the NFL. It's not just one head coach saying, hey, I'm going to call a timeout here, or hey, right. You know, there's a gut feeling to when you're going to go for it for sure, right? On fourth down, hey, we're going for it. Staying one step ahead on third down, hey, listen, we might go for it if we don't get this on third down. But coach has been really great with allowing his staff to have input in time management.
When I worked in NFL Europe, I actually coached in Barcelona, Spain with Jack and a bunch of others. And there's even the assistant coaches that I work with around now, always a help. You're always learning. We're constantly learning in this business. And the day you stop learning is when you tend to go backwards. So we keep trying to go forward.
Is there anyone you admire, or who do you consider is the best defensive coordinator in the history of the NFL?
Well, I think Jim Johnson was terrific when I worked for him. Dick LeBeau in Pittsburgh was a great defensive coordinator, and there's been many others. I mean, Bill Belichick was a great defensive coordinator before he became a head coach, so been blessed to watch and see a lot of those guys.
And talking about leadership, we saw Pat Mahomes to go desperate on the bench on the moment in the season, and is there sometimes that a leader has to raise the hand and raise the voice in order to straighten the way, to correct the way?
Yeah, I think you see that around the league, and I think you see it in any sports. And it's usually the elite players that tend to be your best leaders, because they think all the other players follow. And when you have a guy like Patrick Mahomes that senses the importance of the moment and when he needs to say something, that helps the team a lot. We've got a bunch of those guys on defense that do that. You know, Nick Bolton, Chris Jones, all the way Trent McDuffie, even as a young guy. L.J. Snead is a quiet leader. But you got to have those guys to win in this league.
Finally, Coach, I've been with you guys in the Miami, in Phoenix, and now, and I've seen you in the pre-week, very relaxed, very joking. Your players.
Yeah.
And do you think it's a key in order to be relaxed, in order to win? And how do you guys, you and Reed, manages to provoke this in the players?
Yeah, I believe that all begins at the top. And Coach Reed is a very relaxed, rock-solid guy. And he wants guys to let their personality show. He wants us to be us, the players to be the players. Don't change. Keep the same routine. Do what you've been doing the prior 20 weeks that we've been in this. And I think it's a good way to go.
So he provokes to be authentic.
Say it again?
He
yes.
He provokes to be
pretty much, yeah.
You think it helps to win?
Yes, I think that has
good
a lot
luck,
to do
very
it.
Good
thank
luck.
You.
Thank you.
Yeah, man, I think it just depends on the play call. You got to have your eyes on the right spot in that specific play call. Spratch does a great job mixing up different looks, different schemes, and we run a multi-schematic defense, so we've got different looks, different personnel, and everybody's going to be different eyes, different places, different plays. So I just got to come in on the game plan, kind of know what we got to look at pre-snap, and just from a backers, man, not looking at eye candy, not looking at too many jet motions, man, and just seeing the box, seeing the keys, and letting the O-line take us to the ball. Yeah, man, I think he does a great job of getting the ball in space, man, whether it be as a runner and rocket screens or in the backfield and some sweeps, toss plays, all that. They use the skill set to their advantage. And, yeah, he's on the perimeter. He uses speed with a lead blocker out in head. And he's a one-cut guy, man. He's able to get upfield. And, he's been doing that since he was at South Carolina. Quite honestly, they got a lot of talent over there. Those guys, guys in the room, got a lot of respect for those guys over there. But to answer your question, man, we feel like we're in the same boat as those guys. This season, man, I've kind of been up and down, and I've been in and out the lineup. So Drew Chenko's came in, did a hell of a job, man. Willie's been doing his thing. Leo is doing his thing as well, man. And I think Jack, honestly, had an opportunity to play in this league as well as a starting backer. So we're all those guys come in every single day, man, and put their best foot forward and trying to see where it takes them. It's been a joy to watch the journey. Especially watching Drew, man, I understand how hard it is in this system to come in for 1 year and do the things that he's done. So I've definitely been proud of that. I've been watching that from afar. And, yeah, man, I think we're excited. We gotta understand we don't get the most respect on as a defense as a whole, but at this point we're not looking for respect, just looking for wins. Yep, thank you. Yeah, man, I think that's probably the biggest highlight of my career up to this point. It gives a chance to win a Super Bowl, man. I never had a chance to win anything of that magnitude, college or high school. So I knew it was a great experience for sure. And then this year's a different year, different opportunities, different things ahead. I remember last year, he dropped the ball. I picked it up and I scored, and I kind of feel like it was just couldn't happen any easier. You know what I'm saying? I kind of was surreal. I went to the sideline kind of in awe a little bit because I don't know, you watch it on tape, man. It's about 1 in 15 times you got to bounce that easy. I hit you right in your hands, right in stride, and you can catch it at full speed. So I'll give glory to God for that one. But, yeah, this is a new year, different opportunities. Yeah. Yeah, I think it starts with the coaching staff, man. Encouraging guys to evolve, be smarter, learn more positions, knowing what the guy's doing next to you, so you have an opportunity to play faster. I think it's a testament to the guys got in the locker room as well. Guys come in, man, from OTAs, invested. You play football to February, start back in April. So you don't get that many months off, but guys still come in invested. You can't tell, man, they came in hungry after we won a championship last year, man, to give us a chance. So, yeah, I think it starts with those guys, start with the people we have in the building, and I just do my part. Yeah, I mean, I expect to see what I see all season, man. Electric runner, catch the ball out the backfield. Again, explosive with the football, and you do everything. He's the leading rusher in this league. I think he had 22 touchdowns, so he's able to catch the ball out of the backfield, run the ball, man. And he does it all, man. So got a lot of respect for him. We've got to come out there, execute the game plan, and it's going to be 11 guys at the football needed in order to get him on the ground. With the situation that was arising in the country at that time, it was around George Floyd and that type of stuff. And we had a conversation among ourselves. We just come to the realization that we can't beg for change if we're not going to be the pivot of it. And so I think the change started with registering to vote. And I think 90% of our team wasn't registered to vote. If they were registered to vote, it wasn't in the state of Missouri. So we just want to go out there and give us the opportunity to kind of feel like our voices were heard. I feel like that's the most important part. And Missouri probably didn't change much within our votes of like who we got. But at the end of the day, man, I think it was just a part of doing it, man. Putting right foot forward, you want to be a part of change. I just want to just be a spectator. I want to be involved in it. And I'll give credit to a couple other guys that was there, man. I know Darius Robinson was one of those guys. Martez Manning was one of those guys. And those are the guys that brought it to my attention. And it actually gave me a little confidence to go out there and ask Coach Drinkwitz to do it. So, yeah, man, I think it was special. We had to walk down all the way from where we're at all the way down there, man. So it was a special opportunity for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man. I remember in college, man. South Carolina was our Arkansas. That's technically our rivalry. But man, we used to play South Carolina, man. And it used to be some gritty games, man. And our guys were excited. Kentucky as well. So I've been here, man. Obviously, the Raiders have been a point for that. And we got the Chargers, man. It's always exciting football. So I've got a couple rivalries, man, since I've been around here, man. And I'm enjoying every second of them, though. Yeah, thank you. I'm good. How you doing? Yeah, man, I think you got to have an eye on a lot of their pass catchers, man, a lot of guys with the football. Again, if you focus in on one person too much, man, that's when the other guys kind of expose you. We're going to have our hands full from top to bottom, man. You got George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk, Christian McCaffrey, Debo. You got all these guys, man, all electric with the football, man. So as linebackers, man, we've got to have our eyes in the right spots depending on what's the play call suggesting. He's a wide out. So let the DBs, I got my boy Jay Reed over there and Snead and Duffy, let them handle that on the back end. We have an opportunity to, we're going to make the tackles out of them when we have them in space. But other than that, man, just executing the game plan, not necessarily focusing on one individual. It's going to take all 11 versus their 11. It's just going to be 11-man football for 60 minutes. Yep, thank you. Yeah, man, you got to have your eyes in the right places. I think you got to have them in the triangle. They run a lot of two-back runs, but also they throw the ball out of 22 personnel, run a ball at a zebra regular, they pass ball at the regular. They do a lot of things that marry up with personnel, with run pass. So, yeah, man, it's gonna be a interesting matchup for sure, man. It's going to take all 11, man. We got to come out, man, and first of all, have fun, man. It's going to be the D-line up front. A lot of guys set the tone for us, and then we're going to need that aggression and attitude defense that we've been banking on all year. And just need a production at the football, popularity at the football. And so, like, yeah, man, it's going to be all 11. It's going to be a gritty game.
These ones I feel like you're going to get for sure.
Okay, let's go.
There's one team in the AFC West that does not have a Super Bowl win. Which team is it?
In the AFC West?
That's right. Divisional rival.
The Raiders.
The Raiders have no Super Bowl wins?
No Super Bowl wins.
I want to get you a correct answer so bad.
Broncos have one, though. Yeah. I don't know.
It's actually the Chargers. They've appeared in one, but that's it. Do you know who has the most Super Bowl wins?
We do.
So, actually, the Chiefs, the Raiders, and the Broncos are all tied with three.
Three?
But maybe that'll change after Sunday. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely will.
For sure?
For sure.
All right, you did great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Terry, it's not often you guys have been underdogs throughout your time here, but now third game in a row. Do you feel like an underdog? Is that something you embrace at all this week?
I can say I've been an underdog my whole entire life, but I embrace it. I love it. It's what makes me who I am.
Now, Andy, what makes him and this staff just so big when it comes to these big games?
Andy, he's like a magician. He's been here multiple times. You know what to expect. You know how to put his team in the right position.
Week of prep like this, how is this different from a normal week when it comes to his demeanor and all the guys on the coaching staff?
Man, you know, we started work last week. You know, we had 2 weeks to study these guys, and we still study these guys, you know, and the read on that off.
For you personally, what's this playoff man run for you meant for you? And then seeing all the support from you guys with the all pro stuff and everything, what has this meant for your career?
It means a lot, you know. Going into, you know, my last year with the Chiefs. Well, not my last year with the Chiefs, but, you know, going into my last contract year. And to win a Super Bowl, that'll be lovely, man. That'll be lovely.
I mean, Travis teaches me everything from, you know, when Pat's just doing like a, you know, a little scramble drill, like type of, you know, he just buying time, basically. And I'm over there, you know, just watching the way that the, you know, the line is going to, you know, fall so I can find a window for Pat. Just like, it's kind of getting muscle memory, and then, you know, just certain routes he's trying to tell me, like, just think about this linebacker being here. You know, if he turns his shoulders upfield, that means he's trying to run deep with the slot. So you just buy a little bit more time, stay vertical, you know, stuff like that, so I can, you know, buy time and let the defense declare. Yeah, I think that's how it works. And I don't think it's Trav playing bad cop. I kind of think we all love it just because, it's Travis Kelce, and he's one of the greatest tight ends to ever play. So him being his size, you know, playing how he plays, I mean, anything he tells us, we can move a lot faster, and I'm pretty sure it's just to help us. He's Andy Reid's favorite? I think he's Coach Reid's favorite, yeah, right now. Truthfully speaking, they've helped me a lot. I took a little bit of things from college to the NFL as far as, you know, releases and how to restack, but you know, they just taught me how to run routes as far as, you know, not trying to separate, you know, from the line of scrimmage and to beat, you know, beat the DBs, you know, at the end of the route instead of beginning the route because the DBs are a lot faster, great recovery speed and stuff like that nowadays. Oh yeah, we can put the pads on right now and just get us a little stretch. You know, we ready. We came here already, so we just gave us a little bit extra more time to be here, get ready for the time zone, and you know, recover. To win the Super Bowl? No, I haven't envisioned it. To be honest, I don't even know what to expect. I've just been kind of going day by day. And, you know, when Sunday gets here, I'll get excited for it. But, you know, the more and more I talk about it, the more excited I'm going to get. I would say it's something Joe's, the one at the gas station. I mean, it means everything just to be able to play in the Super Bowl, obviously, but it just means a lot more because we worked hard to get to this spot, and at the beginning of the season, you know, a lot of people didn't believe in us just because we weren't 8-0 or, you know, 10-0 or anything like that, but, you know, it's just kind of better for us because we stuck together through the ups and the downs. You know, even when we were on the winning game streak and we would lose a game or anything like that, we just kind of all stuck together. So that's why it's going to make this win a lot better. Yeah, I'm going to go in my room and lay in my bed and go to sleep. It's the same thing. It's I'm not going to let this game be too big. As far as sleeping? No. I'm going to do the same thing I've been doing throughout this whole season. Yeah, I mean, on my 30 visit, when I went to go visit the Chiefs, you know, me and Coach Embry, we're sitting in the meeting room, and he's drawing up plays on the board, and basically, you know, he's drawing a play, and then he's erasing it, drawing another play, erasing it, drawing one more play, erasing it, and then he's asking me about the first play that he drew, and I basically have to, you know, just show him how fast I was able to understand everything that he just, you know, drew up and the whole concept of the play. Yeah, it was a little different because obviously Coach Reed's offense is a lot more complex. So any other team I went to, it was kind of like the same college offense for me. So it wasn't as hard to learn out there. It's just been like a regular season. I just say that because obviously things, you know, start to speed up in the NFL. But I would say that because this is my first season, so I didn't know exactly what to expect. So, you know, what I did this year, you know, I basically set the bar high, and I look forward to keep doing this every year. Just to be able to get on the field and make some plays, to be honest. By Quavo? I say my favorite song is Thankful by Big YK. You don't know him, but look him up. I would pick Sandy Cheeks.
Why Sandy Cheeks?
Because she's clever. Truthfully speaking, I think he knows I'm well prepared right now. But he's just telling me, you know, to not let, obviously this week, you know, he said basically don't play the game before you play the game because even at the beginning of the game when it starts, it's like a 30-minute wait and then, you know, halftime's long. So just kind of trying to keep myself balanced as far as, you know, excitement and just being ready. It looks the same as it did, you know, every other week, because Coach Reed, he sticks to the same schedule. Regardless if we like it or not, you know, he's going to make sure we're doing the same thing that we've been doing throughout the week to, you know, have the same repetition. It's been huge, obviously, you know, for the NFL and for our team. Pretty sure Trav's really happy, and, you know, that's all that really matters, as long as Trav's happy. Yes, I've met her. She's really cool. Good energy, high spirits, and she's just a natural person. New Year's. I mean, I really can't tell you everything, but I met her on New Year's. Yeah, I've seen Trav not happy. If you see him have a play and, you know, not make the play how he wanted to make it, you'll see Trav get mad for real. He loves football. I got a plan. I mean, I'm probably just going to hit the gritty, but during the moment, I don't know. I might just get rid of the ball. I shouldn't even do that. I always throw the ball, but I don't know. But I might just scream or something. Yes. I wouldn't say he necessarily got after me, but if the, you know, receivers aren't out there, you know, moving as fast as we should, he's going to speak on it. If there's something, you know, he feels like I could have fixed in the middle of a route or anything like that, as soon as I get to the sideline, you know, I'm running over to him. He's not running over me. I'm running over to him. Obviously, I want to learn from him, but he's just kind of telling me, like, you know, think about you being in the game. You know, you make that catch, then you got somebody coming downhill. What's your next move, you know? And so he makes me practice certain things as if, you know, people are actually on the field, even though it's on air. Yeah, I would say he's a lot more dialed in. Obviously, he was dialed in during the season, but there's something about him now. It's just like, I don't think he knows how to lose. I'm not going to lie. He's a competitor, and – you know, everybody else around him, we're going to stick to him, stick to his side the whole time.
Have you had a moment to, like, appreciate and, like, soak in that you are here?
Yeah. I think it was, honestly, the first night we got here. Beautiful hotel, opened the window, we're on the lake, and I was just like, all right, we're here. Like, take a deep breath. You know what you're going to do. And just take it one day at a time. Find your time to yourself, you know. It's always hectic. Schedules all over the place. So just finding those little 10, 15 minutes that you kind of just check out and just be to yourself is huge.
I feel like the biggest difference of this team is that from week one to now, the fact that you guys are actually playing your 21st game of the season.
I always say it's just the confidence and the trust we have in each other, you know. We've had a whole season to build these relationships, to understand how each other play, how each other tick. And coming up here, I mean, we're a big family, you know. We've had a lot of fun. We're always laughing, always playing games. So it's been a lot of fun being a part of a team like this.
Some of the other guys were saying that they felt like the Raiders game here was kind of like a shift in the season. Would you agree? And also, is it almost poetic that you're back here at Vegas at Allegiant?
Right. Yeah, I feel like there was at least – multiple games I can say I saw people kind of lock in and kind of see that shift. But I remember last year off season, I was talking with my family and I was like, the Super Bowl's in Vegas, like that's gonna be like crazy, and saying all this stuff like, man, like Vegas, like that'll be cool. And then now that I'm here, now that I've gone through the craziness of trying to get the family out here and everything like that, it's cool to think about how things like this just happen, you know, and you dream of stuff like this and then they come to reality. Yeah, thank you, thank you. Yeah, man, they're a dynamic offense, you know. They do a lot of things, and for a nickel, it's going to be really important for me to not only understand my assignment but to be detailed in it, you know. They're going to do a lot of things where in the run game they're pulling guards, they're having receivers orbit motion and stuff like that, where for a nickel who doesn't fully know what they're doing, it can get really tough because things go really fast. So just being disciplined in my assignment is going to be huge. No, you know, I'm approaching this game like any other game, you know. Coach Spags put a lot of trust in me in this year, which I love and I'm grateful for, you know, being a young player. But slowing things down and just going back to the basics of football, I feel like when the game's on the biggest stage, it always comes down to just it being football. Yeah. I did. Okay. Not really, like, no, not in high school. College, I may have, like, a few here and there from, like, corner. Yeah, you know, but, like, never, like, a designed, yeah, a blitz for me. Yeah, for sure. I'm a wannabe everything but my position, to be honest with you. Like, I'm like, yo, I play DN. I line up at nose tackle. I play linebacker. I play safety, like. I just love the game of football, and I love being able to do multiple things because I feel like it just keeps the game fun and unique. So when they told me I can blitz, it was like Christmas morning for me. Because I've been a corner, you know what I mean? Like high school, college, I spent so long trying to perfect being a corner, and there's still a lot of things that I'm learning, but football is just like a kid's game, you know? Like, you want to just go out there and have fun. Like, I wish I could play offense. I wish I could play, like, running back or receiver and just, like, goof around because when I'm on the field, like, I just want to enjoy myself. Ah, that's Coach Reed, but I've definitely mentioned it to other guys for sure.
Okay, so tell me, besides being physical, when you think about blitzing,
yeah.
The number one key is
disguise and not showing your hand. We have a great D-line to where I feel like they got to really rely on what on my guy, like Chris Jones and George, and they got to slide a lot of people to different guys. And I'm one of also, I felt like, at least beforehand, one of those sneaky dudes where you're not expecting this 5'11", you know, 180, 190 dude to come flying off the edge. But Spags dials it up, and they've been working, and I've loved it. Yeah. I've seen it. I've seen it. Yep. Yeah, nah, he's special. What'd they say? I'm telling you. You know? Yeah, yeah, I hear that. I hear that. I love that. Of course.
I've asked you a couple of football questions.
Yo. Yep.
How has that been like for you to kind of observe that or watch it? Are you caught up in it? Or?
Nah, I mean, I'm definitely stay as far away as I can. But as an outsider looking in, I would say it's crazy. You know, like as a college dude coming to the NFL, you know, I saw like Patrick and how everybody sees him. And I was like, whoa, like this is different. And then Taylor Swift. And I'm like, she's just on a whole nother level that, like, honestly, I would never want to be a part of. Like, it's a lot. It's crazy.
I mean, can you imagine, you know, I mean, you guys are, like you're saying.
Yeah.
You, get a
you know,
like
for sure.
Growing,
for sure.
To be that,
that'd be a lot, you know. I mean, honestly, I don't think that's the life for me. I don't think that's in my cards. I really hope it's not. But I think Trav's done a great job at managing it all, for sure. None. I wouldn't put myself in a position to have that kind of limelight on me. Yeah, for sure. Of course. Thank you.